89.1 KANW presents Concerning New Mexico with George Armijo.
Our guest today on Concerning New Mexico is Elizabeth Kisten Keller, Albuquerque's First Lady. We now present a speech she gave to the Rotary Club of Albuquerque del Norte on February 25th. The speech was recorded.
Well, thank you all. It is such an honor to be here. And thank all of you for being here today. And perhaps more importantly, thank you all for the decades of service that you've given both individually and collectively to make Albuquerque a better place. It was quite extraordinary for me to learn about some of the huge contributions this group has made since it was founded in 1916, and we are so grateful for your continued service to this city. So as Ken just noted, I was fortunate to grow up here in Albuquerque, and Tim and I both feel extremely lucky to be raising our kids in the city we both grew up in, surrounded by an incredible village of family and friends who make everything we do possible. As Mark Myring already mentioned in introducing the guests, we're particularly fortunate to have Tim's dad, Mike, here, and his aunt, Kay, who not only raised your mayor, but are also helping to raise our little kiddos. Just yesterday afternoon, Jack took a nap over at Mike and Jan's house, so I could scribble down a couple notes for this conversation, take a walk in the Bosque with a good friend, and make sure we had enough milk for the week, because we drink a lot of milk at our house. So over this past year and a bit, I've been asked a lot what it's like to juggle my different roles. My career as a complex systems analyst at Sandia National Labs, my family roles as a wife and a daughter, a sister, and as a mom to two fabulously silly and inquisitive and energetic kids, Maya, who's 5, and Jack, who's 3, and now this new role as First Lady. And I'll admit, it took some getting used to. It turns out that for a while there was a running pool at the office about how long it would take me to stop using air quotes every time I said the word First Lady. But it has been an incredible honor to get to serve my hometown in this new way. It is a role that's immensely energizing and exhausting at the same time. It's a role in which I get to see the really hard challenges our city's facing up close. But it's also a role in which I get to see, like many of you, the really amazing, collaborative, innovative work that's happening all across this city to address those challenges in every corner, in every neighborhood, in every district of our city. And as I do this work, and as I've taken on this new role, I am continuously buoyed by the deep hope that's reflected in our communities. And it's not some sort of passive hope that things just get better on their own. Rather, it is a hope that is deeply rooted in the belief that we can and we must do better. It's rooted in the belief that here in Albuquerque, we are a resilient and a resourceful bunch, that we've got everything we need right here, the creativity, the energy, and the expertise to address our most pressing challenges. And ultimately, it is rooted in the belief that if we can work together, if we can come together as one Albuquerque, then we have the power not just to imagine, but to achieve a different future, a brighter future for our entire city and for all of us here. So today, what I want to do is just share a little bit about this vision, about what it means to come together as one Albuquerque, and a couple of quick examples of how we are working together to continue to create a safe, inclusive, an innovative city that works for all. And I want to just acknowledge in this room that as I've met some of you and reconnected with old friends and mentors, that it is such an incredible and powerful group gathered here. So that as I share some of these examples and mention how some of you are involved directly, there are no doubt countless others in this room who I will fail to mention, who have been part of laying a foundation for these incredible initiatives or part of what is actively making them a success now. So please know, as I talk of these, the acknowledgement for how many folks in this group, your individual leadership, the leadership of your businesses and organizations, how fundamental they are to this work, the history of it, and the future of it as well. So time permitting, I'm going to touch on three quick initiatives, one on community policing, one on homelessness, and one on youth engagement. I picked these because I believe these are all initiatives that intersect the incredible service work this organization does on a regular basis. And then at the end, I will circle back to talk just a little bit about our service and volunteer efforts at the city and how we are revamping what it means to be a city of service here in Albuquerque. So the first piece is on community policing. When we came into office, there were immense challenges facing this city, and a goal that we had to not just enable safe and vibrant communities all over our city, but also to really work on continuing to build, and in some cases rebuild, the trust between public safety professionals and the wider community. And now there are countless different ways over the last year that we have worked hard to bring our police officers out into the community and our fire rescue officers as well, and to bring our community into our public safety departments as well. But I want to touch on just one initiative that I had the good fortune of working closely with over the last year. It's called the Downtown Safety Echo Project. Now, this pilot project, which is scheduled to launch a little bit later this spring, is a community of practice that's designed to address complex safety and security issues by strengthening the capacity, the communication, and the collaboration within and across city departments and all sectors in our city. A better way for the city to be working with nonprofit organizations and businesses as we address our collective safety concerns. So it is a model that builds off the world-renowned ECHO model that was developed right here at the University of New Mexico's Health Sciences Center, for which I know we have great leadership right here in this room. So it built off this model that we developed right here in Albuquerque and that is used in a number of countries all over the world to address public health concerns. And it also built off of pioneering work that's happened over the last 3 years within the Albuquerque Police Department, where they took this public health model and translated it into a public safety context to say we could use this model to better disseminate best practices for dealing with complex mental health cases in the field. And APD has been a pioneer nationally for how to use case-based learning and these didactic presentations to make sure that officers across the force in Albuquerque, but also throughout New Mexico and throughout the country, are better equipped to deal with complex mental health cases in the field. So we built on these two examples, great innovation that's happening right here in Albuquerque, innovation that was already happening in the police department, and said, what would it look like to have this model reshape how we do community policing in Albuquerque? So the pilot project will happen downtown, and the way this works is that it takes simple technology, teleconferencing, and a weekly teleconferencing model to bring leadership within the police department and across a number of other public safety groups, school security officers, private security officers, business owners, nonprofits, service providers, into conversations about what are the security challenges we're facing, what are the best practices we've already seen that are successful in our community, what are the best practices we're seeing from around the country, and how might we put those together to solve these challenges head on. So the opportunities for engagement. I know some of you lead organizations and are either living or running organizations that are downtown. If this is the case, you'll have an opportunity to engage directly later this spring as part of this community of practice. For others who may be running businesses and organizations in the other part of town, if this pilot's successful, once we work out the kinks, once we learn how to do this, it'll hopefully be a model that we can expand to the rest of Albuquerque of true community policing. And we'll be looking to community partners to think about how we finance this as well. We developed the project with innovative collaborators at UNM using funding from Bloomberg Philanthropies in New York. But in the process, when we would run these design sessions downtown, the number of businesses that came to us and said, but we want to invest in this directly. We want to invest our time. We also want to invest our money. Let us start to think about a crowdsourcing model by which we can invest directly in the safety, the inclusion, the innovation that's happening in our communities. So stay tuned again as we roll out some of these and we continue to learn. We look forward to learning from lots of you in this process as well. So one of the second challenges I want to mention and initiatives is around homelessness. As many of you know, and I know as many leaders in this room have really spearheaded some of this work, the challenges we face in this area are immense. Estimates suggest that there are as many as 5,000 people experiencing homelessness in Albuquerque at any given time. And the good news is we have got a number of individuals and organizations that are dedicated to helping serve these individuals and families experiencing homelessness. The bad news is the scale of the challenge has grown to such an extent, right, that it is hard on the individuals and organizations to really meet and address the issue. But we are fortunate in the city of Albuquerque to be working with an incredible set of community partners. We've got Steve here with the Supporting Housing Coalition who has been leading a lot of this effort. And as many of you know or have heard in recent weeks, we are working hard on partnerships with the University of New Mexico, Bernalillo County, and partnerships with nonprofits and faith organizations all over this community to say that we have to come together and work on bigger solutions to address the scale of this problem. A couple of pieces that have happened already. The group has come together and decided to keep the Westside Emergency Housing Shelter open year-round to better serve the population. We've also started to convene a homeless advisory council, which has 40 members, leaders from all different parts of our community, including two members who were formerly homeless, to help guide and think through creative problem solving in this space. And this council has a couple of primary functions. One is about collaborative planning. Again, coming together to share those best practices from our own community, to learn from best practices elsewhere around the country, and to start to address the gaps and the challenges and the barriers that we face for really addressing homelessness at scale in our community. The last part about this council is doing is really thinking through opportunities for community engagement. So I suspect through Steve, through other leaders who are present in this group, they may be coming back to you all as individuals and as a collective to get your ideas and input about how we engage the broader community in supporting some of these efforts going forward. One of the near-term options you've likely heard us talk about recently is the ability to contribute to housing vouchers in the community. Now, these are vouchers that are being run by a lot of the existing partners in this space, Heading Home as one of them, and LACE, a number of other partners. But what we know, the great wisdom from folks in this community, is that in order to address homelessness head-on, you have to have a housing first model, which is to say that any of the services that you're going to provide individuals and families experiencing homelessness will be far more effective, cost effective, expedient, if they are first stabilized and have access to housing. And so we are working with partners all over the community to open up the number of opportunities you have as an individual, as a business, to contribute to the vouchers that will allow these families to get into stable housing so that they can then access and utilize a number of the other resources that are available in our community. So the last piece I just want to mention is youth engagement. And I know as I look through the list of the recent activities that you all have engaged in, this is preaching to the choir. You, as a Rotary organization, and lots of you through your own businesses and your own leadership, have absolutely been tremendous supporters of what it means to engage youth and to fill these gaps over the summer and after school as well. This is a top priority for the city. We are fortunate to have Tim Sheehan here serve on what has a newly been created Kids Cabinet for the city of Albuquerque as a way to bring together all of the organizations who are looking to solve this challenge of how we give every single child in the city of Albuquerque all of the opportunities they need to be able to succeed and to create a better future for our community. So just out of curiosity, did anyone in here make it out to the Super STEM Saturday event this past weekend, or have companies that were supporting it? Looks like we've got at least a couple. So this was a truly incredible picture of what it means for the entire community to come together around this event. Air Force Research Lab and a couple of the other labs are funding this. Deloitte was a lead partner. But if you looked at the sheet of sponsors, it was just endless. The number of businesses and organizations and nonprofits that came together to provide this for the city. I walked in with my two little kids. This filled up the entire first floor of the convention center, both sides, hands-on booths, by all of the innovative universities, partnerships at the labs, nonprofits, who are doing amazing STEM-level activities for our kids. But what we know as we look at this really rich environment for science, technology, engineering, art, and math in our community is that it's gonna take all of us working together still to make sure that a child that's born here in Albuquerque but wasn't as fortunate as I am to have a member or a family member who knew a lot about STEM, that child still has all of the resources they need, the inspiration, the education, the mentorship, to make sure they can still be excited about and successful in this field. It also takes all of us working together as a community to make sure that the students that are coming out of our incredible undergraduate institutions have the jobs they want right here in the community to be able to stay. And that everyone that's coming out of the universities or that's moved here to be close to the labs or the university, they have the resources as a young company to start up, to stay up, and to scale up over time so that we can continue to grow this vibrant economy around science, technology, art, and math in Albuquerque. So we look forward to working with all of you to think about how we continue to make those opportunities better. The City Council stepped up last summer and gave us a budget as a trial to see what we could do, and we increased summer and after-school opportunities by 30% for kids in Albuquerque. But there's still a long, long way to go to make sure that we are providing activities and opportunities for every kid and every family who wants them. We know that you guys are already engaged in some of this amazing work through the work at Explora, through some of the work at the Biopark, through Horizons, which is just absolutely tremendous in this area. But we look forward to learning from you and asking for your help as we move forward on this as well.
This is Georgia Armijo with Concerning New Mexico. You're listening to a recorded speech by First Lady Elizabeth Kisten Keller to the Rotary Club of Albuquerque del Norte.
So the last piece that I just want to mention is that cutting across all of these is this notion and the intent that we're working to turn City Hall inside out. One of the most remarkable things for me in conversations across the city is that as I'm talking to folks all over the city, and in some cases, no matter how rough people's experiences are, how hard they're working just to keep their head above water, more often than not, every conversation I'm in, people are asking, what can I do to help? People in this city are desperate to be part of the solution. I think for a lot of you, you found that community, right? You found that service community right here at Rotary. But one of the things we're cognizant of is how many people in our broader community are desperate to get engaged, and they don't necessarily know how to start. So one of the initiatives that we've been working on is to make sure that everybody who's interested in engaging and being part of a broad set of solutions in this city have opportunities. opportunities. They have meaningful opportunities not just to volunteer for their city, though that's a big piece of it, but that they also have opportunities to engage in their broader community. So again, we have a volunteer advisory council that works with the city. Tim Sheehan has also been a leader on that in the past, working with us to make sure that as we're identifying folks who want to get engaged and aren't yet, we're finding opportunities for them at the city, but that we're also connecting them to groups like this, that we're connecting them to some of the nonprofits that you all support and that you lead, and that we're connecting them to initiatives that your business may be running or your neighborhood association may be running, so that they too can get engaged and feel part of that situation. So we have some exciting pieces coming up that we will share to you, and I think over time share with Kathy and the leadership here so you guys can continue to help us spread the word. Coming up in the near future, we just got funding through the AmeriCorps program to have 5 VISTA program volunteers within the city to help us coordinate and really scale up a volunteer effort. Now, those of you who may be familiar with the AmeriCorps or VISTA programs, these are often positions that are perfect sort of for two general populations. One is folks in grad school or coming out of undergrad, and the other is for potential retirees who are looking to engage in the public sector in a new way. And so as we look for and we start to recruit for those positions, we would love to engage all of you. The network in this room and the broader networks you represent around this city are so powerful. And we look forward to learning from that and engaging all of you as we embark on this next chapter and continue over the next few years to really transform our efforts and make sure that at every turn, we are doing our best to not only take these issues, step up to the challenges head on as city government, but we're also doing the hard work to create opportunities to partner across sectors with the businesses, with nonprofits, and create opportunities for average citizens, average residents to volunteer and engage their time and resources as well. So with that, that's the high-level overview. A welcome. I think we've got time for questions as well. Happy to talk about any of those pieces or something else that may be on your mind as well.
Thank you, First Lady. Sorry, go ahead.
What would be a couple of examples once the pilot program, community policing kicks in? What would be a couple of examples of how that would help and be beneficial?
It's a great question. So we had a couple of design sessions for this, and I actually, there may be a handful of folks in the room who were part of this. I think we see this operating on a couple of different levels. One was a recognition that downtown, even though we're in a pretty small geographic area in that space, it was an area that a lot of the residents were describing and practitioners as an area that was program rich and systems poor, which meant we had lots of different initiatives that were happening, but they weren't well connected. So a business was saying that if someone showed up at their store and was presenting with signs of addiction or mental health, they didn't really know who to call. Or they knew who to call between 9 and 5, and they didn't know what happened if it happened at 5:15. So one of the initial outcomes for this is to better establish the network of practitioners down there, of public safety officials, just knowing and having more familiarity with who you can call and what the referrals look like in the system. So that was one piece. There's a second piece around trying to identify some best practices across departments. So there were a couple areas where the residents were saying, we actually know in some of these areas what's driving some of the higher crime area issues, or we've got some of it. But there's too many phone calls we have to make to the city. If we have to call one department to get lighting, and we have to call one department to try to get the trash picked up, and we have to do one of these things, we lose steam through that. So better coordinating services, sort of where there are city pieces through that. And then for a lot of the service providers, so in the downtown area, and this may look different when it's in different areas of the city, a better understanding of some of the overflow effects from some of the services provided. So they had in this case, lots of service providers around homelessness services, but not very clear ideas from the rest of the community about who could go where. And so you had folks being shuffled to one area, being turned away, couldn't get to the other area, that sort of thing. So greater efficiency in some of those pieces. And then from public safety professionals themselves, an interest in greater training around some of the real challenges we face right now. We've got incredible men and women serving in the police department who are really well trained on how to deal with complex behavioral health issues and some of the addiction pieces. But we have a whole suite of public safety officials who are also operating downtown. Security officers on the buses or in the transit stations, in the parking lots for DMD, private security guards, who are saying, you know, we confront the same issues on a regular basis, but we don't get that specialized training. Could we take some of the specialized training that we've already got in APD and AFR and pretty simply share it with the folks across these other places so that they feel better equipped to do that as well for pretty low cost, right, to be able to just share that expertise? And then the differentiator with the ECHO model. So part of the way this works is it's about didactics for sharing those best practices and some of that training, but it's also case-based learning. So it's people bringing a specific case from the week to say, here's something we encountered, right? It's really well tailored to what is actually happening. Here's an incident we encountered at our business. This is what we tried, this is what worked, this is what didn't work. How can we do better next time? So it becomes less divorced and sort of less theoretical, right, as many trainings are, and really grounded in what the challenges the community is facing. So it will evolve over time to deal with that. But those three pieces were ones that came up time and time and again about what the community's looking for and building that.
Thank you, Ms. Keller, for those comments. You sound like you have some exciting new initiatives for us. I guess I'd ask you on the program, the homelessness program, the housing voucher reinvigoration of that program sounds terrific. With that, though, can we expect a concurrent reduction of the panhandlers on seemingly every street corner in town?
I think that's the hope, certainly. You know, so part of the issue is really trying to figure out how we're doing this at scale. And I think this was part of the issue before, of recognizing that we as a community had come together with some, I think, really creative strategies for how we were addressing those. But we weren't dealing with them at a scale that recognized we had 5,000 people there. So what it means to try to scale, we are unique in Albuquerque among a lot of cities. A lot of cities have this challenge, and the problem is, even if you could get a lot of people to fund housing vouchers, there's not actually housing and present for where to go. We actually don't have that limitation. So we think that if you can find substantial pieces through the housing voucher program, I think the estimates and the goal is to make sure that we can move at least 1,000 people into permanent housing, right, over a couple of years. Now, it doesn't solve the entire issue, and folks are trying to think about how we do that and what are some of the different options. So it is both an acknowledgement, I think, in these partnerships that we have to think about a housing first model, and we have to pay attention to some of the underlying impacts that are leading to some of that behavior, right? Continuing to deal with some of the addiction pieces that are through that, continuing to deal with some of the mental health cases that are part of it. But I think it's top of mind, this advisory council that's coming together, again, 40 individuals from across really different sectors. It really has that front of mind and has recognized that we are at a crisis point for this in our city, and we need to start thinking about building on existing solutions we have, but really scaling them up, and then continuing to think about new options for addressing some of the challenges as well.
One last.
I would like to ask about Bernalillo County's behavioral health that they've been, you know, they've been taxing for, and they're supposed to be doing something with it. Can the city get together with the county for behavioral health services?
Yes, absolutely. And so I will admit, Ted, you know, because I don't spend my whole day job doing some of this work, I don't always have sort of great details on these pieces. But fundamental to the collaboration, both fundamental to the collaboration on the homelessness, on the broader issues of public safety, the City of Albuquerque and Bernalillo County are really trying to work together to make sure that we're doing these pieces in tandem. I will say again, and this is just one piece because it's not my day job, when we were sitting in these design sessions for the downtown safety echo, one of the participants, who was from the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office, was saying, you know, one of the things we need is these better communication and better collaboration so we can have these handoffs, right? We're making the referrals. But he said, I can tell you this, until we really have space where we can provide mental health treatment to our citizens, you will just be moving people around from place to place to place. So it is both, it's sort of this in tandem. We've got to figure out how we're using the resources we have to the best of their possible ability and to think about where are there real gaps that we're addressing. So the piece on the Bernalillo County, right, and the voters' support for this, I think was a very important piece where we recognize this is such a huge fundamental gap that plays into our public safety issues, it plays into all of these other issues. We are on the road to addressing that gap. I know folks feel anxious that it may not be happening as fast as we want to, but it is so fundamental and recognized from all of these other sectors that without that, we won't really be able to address the issues of public safety, the issues of homelessness, without increasing our ability for care there. So we look forward to that and are working hard on that partnership.
Hi, I just have a comment. I follow the mayor's office on Facebook and Instagram, and I am just so amazed at how many events you are at. I mean, almost every day I look at that, and you with your children every weekend. I mean, you guys must work 7 days a week, and I think you're doing a fantastic job getting that out to the community and really motivating us and giving us hope. So I just want to say thank you for that. And fantastic job.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Our guest today on Concerning New Mexico has been Elizabeth Kisten Keller, Albuquerque's First Lady. The speech was recorded at the Rotary Club of Albuquerque del Norte on February 25th.
You've been listening to Concerning New Mexico with Georgia Armijo on 89.1 KANW, New Mexico Public Radio.